Broadcasting from Alito to Alton, from Champaign to Chicago, and from Robinson to Rockford, this is the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com.
And here we go. Let us be the first to say Happy New Year as we are getting closer to 2024. Glad you're with us on the Atlanta Guys Sports Spectacular. Larry Smith, Mike Cagley, Brad Sturdy, Patrick Quinn, as always, doing an outstanding job on audio for us. We appreciate his efforts. Guys, another big show coming up. We'll look back at the Atlanta year in review. And on the way, Brian Barnhart, the voice of the Fighting Illini, is on the way to talk about this basketball team, as we're going to talk here in just a moment about this Hoop team as well, up to number 11 in the rankings now in the AP poll. And if you're around for hour number two of this fantastic show, a great podcast by Kedrick Prince, the IlliniGuys.com's director of recruiting, caught up with the Illini assistant Tim Anderson. This podcast has gotten rave reviews by those who've already heard it on the IlliniGuys.com message board, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. So lots of other stuff as well, including Taylor Swift with an unusual viewing partner. And it wasn't Travis Kelce's mom. We'll get into that as well.
Not that we know of, anyway.
Not that we know of, but this is still somebody else. It's my goodness. It is. Look, Chiefs aren't winning. Might as well talk about Taylor, I guess, right? Okay. Well, let's talk a lot of hoops, fellas. Listen, we discussed a little bit last week, but we've had some time now to eat some Christmas dinner, open our gifts, and realize just how special this Illinois team has played here in these opening weeks. Friday night's game against Missouri was fantastic.
I mean, I thought I don't know that you could have a better, you know, kickoff to that game. And they made a few mistakes in the second half and let up a little defensively. But that first... the first half of that game, they were just completely dominating Missouri. Missouri had no answer for Illinois, and Illinois had an answer for everything Missouri threw at them. And to be honest, Missouri actually threw in some crazy shots just to get the points they got. There was just nothing they could do against Illinois. And I think you saw what Illinois can be with their length defensively, with their athleticism, with and their ability to score the ball. I mean, you know, they got so many weapons. Quincy Guerrier shooting it now. You always have Terrence Shannon. You know, Marcus Tomask goes 0 for 7 from 3, but still finishes 10-7-7. I mean, this is just – Coleman Hawkins has a nice game. You have so many pieces. And slowly but surely, I think the X factor here might be Ty Rogers. As he becomes comfortable in his role, I mean, he grabs 6 offensive rebounds and he's handling the ball. He's doing, I mean, he's just starting to find his niche, if that makes sense. This team has a chance to be really good.
You know, the thing that got me is, first off, fantastic performance, but I love some of the help defense that we saw in that game. There's a lot of times if you watch, you know, Coleman Hawkins would slide over and prevent a Missouri player from being able to drive because he's there. And so when a player thinks, oh, I've got an opportunity here, I've just beat my man, but there's another guy waiting. And I think the weak side help was rotating really well. So when Missouri had to pick up a dribble, there was nowhere to go with the ball. It's something that it's hard to do a stat for, you know, picked up the dribble, nowhere to go. I was the guy who was responsible for, you know, having nowhere to go. But if you watch that on film and you see it in the games, that Illinois defense is formidable. And it doesn't have a Kofi Coburn anchoring it. It's got a Coleman Hawkins who can do just about anything in there. And boy, you know, that team defense really emphasizes team. And that's something we just didn't see last year.
You know, and something else we didn't see last year was the cohesiveness and the maturity on the defensive end, especially. You see now where early last year, Underwood was trying to do some switching, right? You know, on defensive setups, and somebody similar would break down. That's not happening right now. And you bring up Ty Rogers, and I think you're right, where he's an X factor. He's got that big length at 6'6", 6'7". He can defend multiple positions. The same with Marcus Tomask, who sometimes is playing the point for this Illini team. But keep in mind, many times at Southern Illinois, he played the 4, and it was a little bulkier. So you've got some guys now. Coleman Hawkins is agile enough that he can defend the 3, even though he plays the 5. So, I mean, it's one, like you said, that you've got the length, and if they can play like this on a consistent basis, this could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's no question. And then Mike mentioned, you know, I always taught like kids who are playing on offense, you're not really beating the defender right in front of you. If you're a good offensive player, you can probably beat that one person. You got to be when you got to beat five because there's help defense, it is really hard. And so that, I think that's the impressive part. The other thing is we've seen throughout the Underwood's tenure that as the season goes on, some guys will gain playing time off the bench. So I think people are panicking about some younger guys not getting as many minutes. I think you may see a guy who earns some time. And when you go in and you play well, you're going to get more time. And I think that's where they're at. And I think we're going to see that as we get in the Big Ten play. So have a little more depth than maybe the seven guys they're consistently playing right now.
Yeah, iron sharpens iron. And when the team's playing this well and you're a, you know, young player or a player with less experience, you need to go in and be a part of what the team is doing. And that's a hard lesson to learn. And I think once the younger guys figure out, hey, you know what, for the first time in my life, I'm not the star in the center of the solar system. I'm just a guy who's helping Terrence Shannon and the rest of the team win. And I think that takes some time to set in. And then that sets you up to be that star role later on in your career.
So Illinois playing Fairleigh Dickinson Friday night after a week off. This is, as Brad was mentioning in the break, this is not the FDU team that upset Purdue as a 16 seed over a one seed last year. That's a Friday night game at State Farm Center. We've got complete pre- and post-game coverage on our website, IlliniGuys.com, and certainly want to make sure you take advantage of that, as well as our podcast, post-game podcast as well, talking about this game. I want to break away for just a moment and listen into Brad Underwood talking about just the things you guys were saying and where he is with this team right now and how excited he is, not about only about what they're doing right now, but about just where he, how far he sees this team going, possibly as we get into the 2024 portion of the season and Big Ten play.
Well, athletically, he's just so special. There was a sequence. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that by anybody. And my goodness, I sat on the sideline with Michael Beasley and Bill Walker, and I don't know if I've ever seen a sequence as freakishly dominating athletically as that was. And his speed, you know, he's so strong. You compile all of his physical attributes with his incredible, and I mean incredible, work ethic. And I've had some guys at work. This one's at the top of the list. And, you know, it's a saying, good things happen to those who work hard. And it's just a combination of all of it. And then I hope everybody gets to see what a wonderful kid he is.
I guess with that connection you talk about, what's led this team to have that?
Maturity. They're playing to win, you know, and there's no other agendas. They all are mature enough to understand that winning helps all of them. There's no, you know, me. There's none of that. It's all about, you know, their approach. They have fun together. They're connected. They're like personalities. There's no knuckleheads. I mean, it is just everything you can think of that you would want to have in a connected team. Right now we have, and that's pretty cool.
With the exception of stretching the second half to carry the ball really well tonight, we'll get their pressure defense. Is that an emphasis this week, or?
Does anybody know what OER is, offensive efficiency rating? We're at 1.7 OER. I shouldn't tell that. Now nobody will press us. I was begging for the press. We're at 1.7 OER against the press, which is elite. Anytime you're above one, it's really good. We were begging for it. And we just keep it simple. We've got multiple handlers. I don't know what was our turnovers. Now we had 10 in a game where we scored 97. I'll live with that every day. And you know, we can pass. We can, you know, we're starting to shoot the ball. You know, if Marcus makes anything tonight, and as we're wide open, goodness. So I relish it. I hope we. You know, we got big guards you can throw over. We got speed and athleticism. Guarding us with 94 feet is hard, I think.
Brad, 17 assists tonight. How much is that synergy growing offensively, just movement, yeah, Carrying the ball?
Well, if you simplified everything. I mean, it was just a ball screen and kind of booty ball and get it to where we need to go. And we got multiple guys who can do it. And when you can play in space, it helps. And then, you know, again, it was the ball movement in the first half was just was incredible. I thought we had a couple opportunities in the second half to make an extra pass. But again, we do a lot of extra pass stuff, and you know, it's starting to pay off.
That's Brad Underwood, again, the coach there, talking about this team. Brad, I know you have been there. I think every single game you made the road trip with him, right? You've been courtside for all of this. You've got us. Your seat is as good as anybody's. And I know even just hearing you talk about this team, it's been different than maybe some past teams that we've had.
Yeah. And you can hear it in his voice. He's different. You know what I mean? Like he has confidence in this team. I think the best story he told was the other day before the Missouri game. They're 2 days away from one of the biggest games of the year on the schedule, and he cancels practice because they made 50 shots in their shooting drill. And he was like, they'd made 23, 27. There's no way they're making 50. But that also tells you how these guys compete when the lights go on, because they knew they could get a day and they went out and made 50 in the shooting drill and got any said, I got to cancel practice. Whitman shows up for practice. Josh Whitman, the athletic director, shows up for practice and there's nobody there. Yeah, we had to let him go. They made 50 shots. So you don't do that unless you feel pretty good about where you're at as a team.
And Brad, it seems like Underwood is more comfortable with this team than what he was last year. Are you seeing that as you're right there on press row?
No question. I mean, it's definitely a thing where he knows they're old. He knows that they've been through the wars. He knows what they're about. I don't think he has to coach effort with this team either. Like, he doesn't have to coach effort. He doesn't have to coach, like, you know, this, that, or all those other things. He doesn't have to coach intangibles, if that makes sense. He just has to coach basketball. Hey, here's what we're going to do. Look for this. This is what's going to be open. Go play. This is what they do. They shoot right-handed, left-handed. They drive this way. They like to run this action, whatever it is. And just go play. These guys aren't, he isn't worried about coaching. You got to sprint back on every player. You got to, you know, he doesn't have to worry about that.
So Big Ten play coming up starting next week. Back into Big Ten play. Illinois already 1-0 thanks to the victory at Rutgers about a month ago, 4 weeks ago, this weekend. Tuesday night at home against Northwestern, a team which was ranked briefly before they laid an egg against Chicago State. Then the Friday night game at Purdue. Guys, this is really big, and we've talked before, not just because it's Purdue and it's at their place, which is big enough, but Brad, you've mentioned you win both of these games. You come out of the first week of January already two games up on Purdue in the loss column because they lost at Northwestern back in early December.
Yeah, and you went to win a road game there would probably be one of the most important things if they want to win a Big Ten title. I mean, that would really shift the narrative nationally and also in the Big Ten. And I really think that it's an interesting matchup. Illinois gave them all they wanted last year at Purdue. If you remember, it came down to the, you know, last play. And so I think this is a team that they can compete with, although it's not going to be easy, but you have to take care of business against Northwestern to set up that game to be the game you want it to be. Younger teams that aren't as focused will not show up for Northwestern getting ready for Purdue. I don't think this team has that issue.
Yeah, and holding serve at home is critically important. We've seen that inability to do that the last 2 years in the football program that has, you know, hurt their total loss total and maybe kept them out of a Big Ten championship game and then this year a bowl game. And it's really important in the Big Ten to win those at home. Even if everybody assumes you're going to, you have to show up and play well.
Yeah, no question. So, again, two big games next week as Illinois getting into the year. 10 wins before January 1st for the first time since 2017. And, again, this program right now getting attention of everybody all across the country. And that's a good thing. It's been a long time coming, but what a great job by Brett Underwood, his staff, everyone involved with this team, and as well the players, too, and what they have done here to fashion this record and this resume here in the early season. All right, keep it here. Quick timeout here. We've got so much more to come. The year in review, we'll take a look at some of the highlights in Illini sports. And Brian Barnhart still on the way as well, the voice of the Illini. We'll get his take on what this Illinois basketball team has done so far. That's on the way here on the Illini guys, sports spectacular.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org. /urgent care.
Back here on the show, by the way, don't forget another Big Ten getting back into Big Ten play is Sunday. The Illinois women's team is at Indiana, trying to come back to splitting a couple of games in West Palm Beach back before the Christmas holiday. And so Shauna Green, the second year coach, hey, she said beforehand that, look, this is going to be a year that we're going to schedule a lot harder, and they've done that. But, you know, talking to Adalia McKenzie, the Illini gal, you know, over the weeks and months in the past couple of years, and she's still excited about what this team is doing right now. Speaking of the Illini women, as we look back at the 2023 year in review, you know, one of the high points was them coming in and making the NCAA tournament in year number one under Shauna Green. And it's exciting to see the fan base get behind this program and see some of the recruits and transfers and players looking at Illinois now as a possible destination.
Yeah, there's no question. I think it was a huge surprise to I mean, not that Shauna Green's not a good coach, not that they didn't bring in good players, but to make the jump from being like the worst team in the Big Ten for years to being a team that's in the NCAA tournament is a huge jump in year one. And they did it. And, you know, I think that's really impressive. And I think the other part about it is it showed now they're recruiting well, too. Got some really nice players coming in, signing a, you know, what borderline five-star freshman coming in next year. I think it's really impressive what she's done.
Yeah, and I think the tougher schedule reminds me a little bit of what, you know, Tom Izzo and even this year Brad Underwood did, you know, to get your team prepared for the Big Ten. Because it doesn't get any easier. 6-5, they played some tough games and they've measured themselves against some good programs. And then you start off at Indiana. So they'll have had a 10-day layoff and gives you plenty of time to get rocking and rolling after the holidays and get your house in order. Because once you roll into Indiana, it's not going to get easy.
Yeah, and they want to erase the bad taste in that Michigan loss as well, which was not good. Looking back at 2023, what are some other big moments for you guys that stand out?
Well, for me, you know, just talking Illini football, I think it's been really cool to see people consistently talking about Illinois players. You know, Devin Witherspoon going fifth in the draft, and then, you know, having you know, basically an all rookie type season, and then you throw in Sidney Brown has had some, you know, highlight moments, as well as Chase Brown has had some, you know, great highlight moments. And then Quan Martin getting to play, Nate Hobbs, Kirby Joseph, a lot of NFL guys. And then the Johnny Newton, the fact that he's probably going to be a first round draft pick as well. The football program looks like it's kind of showing that it can produce NFL talent, which should help in the recruiting here.
Yeah, I think we've seen where Brett Bielema's been one of the best Illini coaches over the last 30 years in his first three seasons. And I know that a lot of people would like to see him going 10-2 every year.
That's not a high bar, Mike.
It's not a high bar, but you know, he's got such a mountain of ugh to climb from what has been done before him that he has no fault, nor do the players. And he's got to find a way to get through that. And I think he's got the program on a footing that's better. And then all of a sudden this year in the recruiting class, they're beating other Big Ten powers for players. You know, getting a guy like AJ Dennis that Michigan and Ohio State, you know, kicked the tires on, you know, getting those type of players is a big deal. And Illinois hasn't been able to pull that off often since Ron Zook walked out the door. And I'm not saying that Brett Bielema recruits like Ron Zook, but you're starting to get players that other Big Ten schools that are better than Illinois right now would like to have on their roster.
That's true. Trey Petty, another one, the quarterback who was the Mr. Football of the biggest class, 7A in Mississippi. Ole Miss trying to come at him. He is, as Matt Stevens has told us, he's been down to Trey Petty's games. Matt Stevens, the Fighting Illini, the Illini guys, I should say, a football writer and analyst, says it's, you know, it's, you know, it's a, his high school is a tee shot from campus. I mean, it's that close, right? And yet they beat these guys out and held on to them despite a subpar season that didn't match up. And we remind everyone that when Brett Bielema does post back-to-back 8-win seasons at Illinois, and he will, he'll be only the third coach in history to do that. Back-to-back 8-win seasons, it just does not happen at Illinois. So hang on. It's coming. They're building and they're getting there. You know, speaking of football, I thought one of the moments, big moments from 2023 that did not get the national attention it should have was John Paddock's game against Indiana, former walk-on, fourth-generation Illini player, throwing for an Illini Memorial Stadium record 507 yards in that win over Indiana, an offense that Illini fans complained about much of the season as not being vertical and not being very effective. Had a record day. It was something special to see.
You know, you watch that game and you were just stunned at it because it looked like it was back in the day when you had, like, you know, Dave Wilson slinging it around or Jack Trudeau or Tony Eason, somebody like that. And now it was walk on John Paddock out there slinging the ball around. So it was really impressive to see what he did because that is not an easy, he wasn't an easy situation stepping into Big Ten. The good thing about him is, again, we've talked about this in basketball. He was older, though. He's experienced. He'd been through the wars. He just went out there, and he was a gunslinger. He didn't have anything to lose.
Yeah, and especially when you remember the first few passes he threw against Penn State. You know, I mean, that was a scary.
Didn't he lose hold of one?
Yeah, like, yeah.
End over end?
Yeah, the bounce pass thingy. And so there was not a lot of warm and fuzzies that he was going to be able to come in and do well, let alone, you know, throw for 500 yards. Nobody was expecting a Dave Wilson-esque game. And I thought it was fantastic, especially when you put his story of coming to play at University of Illinois and third generation athlete and all that around it, which made it such a unique and cool story.
Yeah. And how cool was it? It eclipsed the week before when he stepped on the field in the final 2 minutes, throws three consecutive completions to take the team 85 yards for the game-winning touchdown, which in itself is unbelievable. And then he comes up a week later and does this. And so, you know, that was one of those just amazing moments. And by the way, before we do end this segment, how about the Illini men's golf team reaching the NCAA quarterfinals? Mike Small, yet again, the epitome of just consistent success. And it's amazing what he's done. He's got this team already, again, in their fall portion of their season, in the top five, and again, with primed again to be one of the top teams vying for a championship coming up here at the end of the year. Hey, stay with us. We've got a lot more to come here on the Sports Spectacular. Brian Barnhart joins us. And a bit later, what are the guys watching? We'll tell you. We know Mike's got, like, you know, some comic thing or something, but Mike's actually going to let me tell you what I'm watching because I never watch anything. I actually watch something for once.
Wow.
So you got to stick around to see what did Larry sit down long enough to watch? And I actually binge watched it too. So, all right, nice. That's coming up.
You're tuned in to the Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
Hi, Larry Smith here with details on a special Illini Guys deal with one of the premier home building and remodeling companies in Greater Chicago, HX Home Solutions. If you live in the Chicago area, or if you know someone who does, and your home or business is in need of attention, call HX, tell them you're with the Illini Guys, and get $1,000 off your project. They offer full residential, commercial, and industrial remodeling and new construction services, and only use the best in-class products with the top installers. Get $1,000 off with the Illini Guys discount. Why HX? They're experienced, in business since 1950. They're respected, an A rating from the Better Business Bureau, and over 100 five-star reviews on Google. They're elite. They use only top materials like James Hardy siding. I have Hardy plank on my own home. It's durable, looks good, and increased the value of my home. Marvin windows, hail-proof Euro Shield roofing, and much more. And they finish on time. None of this stuff sitting in your driveway weeks after they were supposed to be done already. The Illini Guys discount is available to anyone listening to this message. Their number is 224-880-6000, and their website, hxhomesolutions.com. Be sure to mention the Illini Guys to get your discount. hxhomesolutions.com.
Fans of big sports radio and sports spectacular podcasts have a new home on the Chief Sports Network. Find your favorite programs and content all in one place by downloading the Chief Sports app in your mobile device. Created in South Carolina, the Chief Sports Network is the home of an expanding network of live and podcast format programming. It is also the home of one of the leading national college football podcasts, JC and Morgan, hosted by ESPN's Mike Morgan and 24/7 Sports' JC Sherbert. Download the Chief Sports app for free and find all of your favorite programming under one easy umbrella. Thanks to all of our markets for your loyal support of Big Sports Radio and our Sports Spectacular podcast, and we look forward to connecting with you anywhere in the world on the Chief Sports app.
Hey, airline travelers. Let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 800-413-7158. 800-413-7158. 800-413-7158. That's 800-413-7158.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Right back here on the show. Glad you're with us, Larry, Mike, and Brad, joined by our friend of the show. Always good to talk with him. He is the voice of the Fighting Illini. Brian Barnhart is with us once again. Brian, happy holidays to you. Good to see you. You know, it's kind of a gift to all of us, this Illini basketball team, the way they have played here in these first two months of the season.
Yeah, it really is, and it's been fun to watch it kind of come together. And you knew Brad Underwood's goal was to get older and to get more experienced. And I could tell by the way he was handling practice and the way he was working with his team, I thought, I think he knows once this thing clicks, this could be pretty cool. And because Quincy Gary is 24 years old, you know, he's been to a couple of different places. He just wants to win. You know, Marcus Damask was an all-Valley player, you know, down in, of course, at Southern Illinois and Carbondale. He just wants to win. So you've got a bunch of guys. Terrence Shannon came back, not only to further his game, which I think he's even better than he was last year, but, you know, to win. And same way with Coleman Hawkins. So you've got all these older guys that, simply put, aren't worried about minutes. And I think Brad referred to all this in the postgame in St. Louis the other night. You know, they're just older and they know their roles and they just want to perform those roles to their highest level and win. And that's kind of what you're seeing here is as we play these really tough teams in November and December and then getting ready for January.
Brad Underwood's always had a knack for kind of doing well in the Big Ten or these last 5 years, right? He's the winningest coach in the Big Ten. It seems like in the out of conference, sometimes it's been a struggle. But this year, that hasn't been the case. This team's actually performed really well. Even the games they've lost, they've competed against, you know, high-quality top five, top 10 teams. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like what are your thoughts going into Big Ten play when you see them do this well in the out-of-conference, knowing Underwood's history in conference play?
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, and they mention it frequently, and they should. They've won more Big Ten games than anybody in recent years. So, and they are proud of that, and they should be. And yeah, I think it's and you've seen it too, where as the year has gone on, the team will struggle in some of those games. And then the team you see in, you know, February and March isn't the team you saw in November. I think he's already got the February team here basically now getting ready, you know, here in January to start Big Ten play. So I think he's ahead of schedule. And I think the age and experience that he talks about a lot is the reason why, because you think about it, they've gone completely different from what they were a year ago. And I knew going into the Missouri game, I thought where this team is mentally and maturity wise is way ahead of where they were last year at this time. And they got, you know, they got bombed in the Missouri game and I knew that wasn't going to happen this time. I couldn't predict 100% they were going to win it. But I thought they're going to play much, much better just because of who's on the team. So I think it's a credit to Brad that he's really great at developing teams as the season goes on anyway. But then to have the older guys that he sees every day in practice and the way they perform, he doesn't have to do a lot correcting or redirecting scouting reports or anything with this older group. They just get it. And that's what's been fun to watch. And you could see it in the Missouri game. They were ready to play. They took everything away from Missouri in the first half. They couldn't run anything. And I think that's the maturity of this team coming up. Once they learned their roles and once they learned where everything was going to fit, you can see the rotation's already down to 7 or 8. And I think that's what we're going to see the rest of the way.
So what did you think of Coach Dennis Gates, who smartly, after you lose to a team, you say that they're going to win the Big Ten, they're going to be a Final Four team. About the only thing he didn't say was that Illinois can beat the Harlem Globetrotters. I thought that was a pretty clever way to kind of try to transfer the pressure to Brad Underwood after his team just walloped you.
Yeah, what else are you going to say? I mean, and they had lost, what, 2 in a row before that, too. Seton Hall, they got down, whatever it was, 19 or 20, came back. And then, of course, they had played fairly well at Kansas. I don't know if he said the same thing after Kansas. Maybe he did. I don't know. But, no, I just think the way Illinois played, they played like a Final Four team the other night in St. Louis. That first half, I called it a virtuoso performance. I mean, I don't know if you can play any better in those first 20 minutes than they did. And it is – you know, comparisons are always dangerous, but you had the five starters in 05 that all could do, you know, Roger did what he did and James did what he did and Dee and Darren. And I don't know if they'll reach that same level, but I have that same sense about each of these guys that are in the starting lineup. And then the guys off the bench, they bring even different dimensions. What Dane Danger does is different. You know, what, you know, the Harmon does is a little different. I mean, so, but the main five guys, you know, I think they've found their starting five. And I think as well as they played at the start, really, if you think about it, the game with Colgate, you know, you're coming off the finals week. I've seen it over and over again. You guys have too, where that first half, you're like, ooh, this looks like a team that's been, you know, a little rusty. And they came out, it was 14-0 in the first couple of minutes. And I thought that was a real signal that, you know, this team's a little different. So I don't know if they're Final Four, but I think this is a team that, you know, has the capability to get into this, which we've all been wanting to get out of that first weekend and get into the second weekend. Then it's just then it's all about matchups.
Talking with Brian Barnhart again, voice of the Fighting Illini in this Illini team. This week up to number 11 in the AP poll. In some polls, they have them even higher. And Brian, you bring up something I want to talk with you about, and boy, we all have discussed this amongst ourselves for years, right? You've got to get past that first weekend in March to be considered by the national media as that next level of program, right? The elite program through that year in, year out. I've been impressed with the attention this Illinois team has gotten already this year. I mean, you know, that's the one thing that, and I think that's a testament to what Brad Underwood has done. And the returning guys, the Terrence Shannons and the Coleman Hawkins, as I mentioned on IlliniGuys.com to some of the posters, it's great to be in a position that you're arguing if 11th is high enough instead of complaining that you're not getting any votes at all, right?
Yeah, it's also a good sign if you're all you're worried about is, well, we need to get Imani Hansberry a couple of more minutes. And,
right.
You know, why isn't Gibbs Lawhorn playing more? You know, you would hear that same thing with the 05 team, you know, why isn't Brian Randall playing more, you know, when he got hurt, you know, where's Rich McBride? You know, we need him a little more. I mean, those are the kind of things when everything is going so well that you start to worry about, and that's a good sign. But I was telling somebody after the 3-game stretch with at Rutgers, the way they performed, the way they defeated Florida Atlantic. We just saw recently what Florida Atlantic did beating Arizona. And the Tennessee game was a tough one because it was the third of those three on a true road environment. It took me a couple of weeks to get Rocky Top out of my head after that trip. But they're just really good, too. But, I mean, the way we battled and led that game, despite not shooting very well for the Illini in that first half, still had the lead. Those are all things that kind of you throw into the mix and you think, I think we got something here. And that's the feeling I have as we start Big Ten play, is I think we do have something. Can they win at Purdue? That might be really, really tough. Nobody hardly wins there. But, you know, can they compete for the, you know, the top two or three spots in the Big Ten? Absolutely.
Yeah, Brian, I will tell you, in Tennessee, I have Rocky Top. I think they played it 17 times while we were there.
That's all?
That was just during the game. But I will say this. After that trip, you know, you talk about them being fatigued. You also went on all those trips, as did I. I was tired on Saturday, and I didn't have to play. So I can't imagine what they were like, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, that was, you know, and that was one reason they stayed out in New York City in between games, was to avoid coming all the way back home from New Jersey and turn around and go to New York. So that was, I think, a good move on their part. And then it was just a couple of days at home, and then boom, you were playing Tennessee right away. So, yeah, it was that was quite a stretch there. And well, I counted it up in I think in December, and because I had also, after the Tennessee game, went to Florida for a week. I had been home actually at my own, you know, with my wife and I together at home. We had been maybe home like 3 days that month. So yeah. I mean, I, you know, and we weren't taking finals or anything like that, like those guys are. So yeah, that was a busy stretch.
You know, and the Tennessee game, you were with the team, you flew out with them. And you got to see, like, they didn't get to have their Friday shoot around in the arena because there was a concert. Mm-hmm. They went to their morning shoot around and the court wasn't ready yet. And so they didn't get to do the normal, they didn't get to go through like their normal pregame routine either. So it's like, mm-hmm. you're tired, you've been on the road, all these things. It makes it really hard.
Yeah, it also gives you a little good, and you know this, it gives you a little rehearsal for the NCAA tournament, because sometimes those, you know, those quick turnarounds, you don't have a lot of time to do a lot of prep. Big Ten tournament would be a better example, you know, where you're playing 3 games in 3 days or 4 games in 4 days, where there's not a lot of time, not a lot of practice time. I don't know what the record is. I could, you probably go back and, you know, I'd have to look it all up at the times where they've done a ballroom practice, basically, where you just, you know, the managers lay out a lane and a key, and they just walk through everything. I don't know if is that sink in as well as going full bore like they typically do, you know, at a shoot around. That would be interesting to know what the record is over the years, no matter who the coach has been. Because, but I've also seen it like in Major League Baseball, you know, if they play a Saturday night game and they have a 1 o'clock Sunday game, they often don't take batting practice. And sometimes they'll wind up with, you know, 15 hits in the game. They didn't take any BP. So yeah. I don't know what the record is as far as that goes. But yeah, they didn't really get their full, you know, what they normally do. It was basically, you know, get in, eat dinner, do their tape and meetings and do all of that, and then discuss it again in the morning. And then first time you're in the arena, you're warming up, you know, to play the game. So don't know if that had an impact or not, but sometimes it helps and sometimes it doesn't.
Now, I'm assuming when all you announcers get together, you know, you got it. There's a little bit of like, you know, my team's better than yours. You know, we've won more games in the Big Ten than anybody else. So, you know, when you look out at this Big Ten, you know, are there any teams, I mean, Purdue's the obvious ones, or any other teams that stand out that you think I'm going to have some stuff ready just to, you know, just in case these guys are tough?
Well, it seems like Wisconsin's always there. Doesn't matter what we think they're going to do. Last year was, I think, a down year for them in that regard. But, you know, we're all, as a broadcaster group, we get together every May, as many of us as possible, and spend a couple of days together and play golf and just, you know, have dinner and have some fun. But, you know, we're always giving Matt LaPay a hard time, because all he does is they go to bowl games every year. They go to play in Rose Bowls every year. You know, they go to the NCAA tournament for 30 some years or whatever it is in a row. You know, and the rest of us are like, you know, come on, Matt, you know, don't complain about anything. You know, you get to go everywhere. So, but no, we have some fun with each other on that. But yeah, it's interesting. We got a great group of guys. So there's some kidding that goes around quite a bit. We email a lot and text a lot. So.
What has any other fan base had so much angst after winning so many games as the Ohio State fan base?
You're talking football.
Yes.
Yeah. They, and you know, I kind of understand it, because I lived in Oklahoma for, I don't know, for about not quite 10 years, and did minor league baseball out there, but I was working on sports radio out there in Oklahoma City. And, I can tell you that, they're never satisfied in Norman, Oklahoma. Is, I mean, you can be 10 and whatever, and how come we didn't beat so-and-so? And back then it was, how come we didn't beat Nebraska this year? And they were just, their expectations, you know, why did you only beat, you know, Texas State by 35 instead of the projected 50? You know, what's wrong with our quarterback? I mean, it gets a little insane. So I kind of understand it. I think your expectations at some places get so ridiculously high that it becomes, you know, the stuff to nitpick at, which is what we were kind of hinting at earlier. When your team's doing really well and you beat Missouri by 24, well, there's always somebody that, well, you know, why didn't so-and-so play more? And I remember even during the 05 season, there were people all year that kept saying, well, you're shooting too many threes. You know, yeah. it's going to come back and get us one of these times. And I just kept laughing, thinking, just enjoy this. You're 22-0, you're 25-0, you're, you know, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Two big games coming up next week, Illinois at home Tuesday against Northwestern, and then the big game Friday at Purdue. The big looks like it's going to be a top 10 showdown. And the man there on the call for Reach, Brian Barnhart. Good to spend time with you, my friend. Happy New Year, and we'll talk with you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Anytime, guys.
All right. We appreciate it. Thanks so much, Brian Barnhart, again, on WDWS as well. And, again, just the veteran voice behind the Illini, and you can catch him. By the way, be sure to follow him on Twitter. He does something really fun. He'll kind of reach out and ask, you know, where you're listening, and then he'll call him out on the air. I love to hear when he comes out of timeouts, he talks about that. It's pretty cool. It's really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, stay with us here. We've got much more to come, including what the guys are watching, and maybe you should be watching, too. That's next.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. 800-373-8414. That's 800-373-8414.
Are you tired of your website making your business look bad? Is your current web developer dropping the ball? Let's face it, if your website isn't making you money, it's broken. Let Neon Rain create a website that turns your visitors into customers. Neon Rain has worked with hundreds of businesses across North America, building custom websites and applications with modern designs that are easy to update and work well on mobile devices. They can do it for you too. What sets Neon Rain apart? They actually deliver on their promises. Call today for a free consultation, 303-957-3092. That's Neon Rain at 303-957-3092. Or visit them at neonrain.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back, but you're gonna love it, and you're gonna love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day, plus no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. 800-215-0341. That's 800-215-0341.
As we've talked about before, it's time to visit a segment we don't do very often as we've been so busy with football season. But we thought, you know, it's over the holidays. Everyone's kind of taking some time to exhale. So let's chat about a movie review or TV review. So we got 1 minute each, guys. What are you watching? What do you recommend?
Well, I'm much in. I went to actually see Aquaman, so I got to see that in the theater on Christmas Day. My wife loves Jason Momoa, so it was, you know, so I kept her happy. The only that we have one critique of the show, he didn't have his shirt off the entire show. That was her critique. So you know, everybody has what they want to watch. But no, two shows on streaming that I'm watching are Reacher. Reacher's fantastic. I love it on Amazon Prime, and then also Percy Jackson on Disney Plus. I'm a big fan. Those are kind of books that I used to read. So good stuff.
Yeah, I saw Aquaman as well. My wife had the same problem, but I will say that was a mess of a plot. It was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 vignettes that didn't necessarily connect, but they thought it would be cool. So they just kind of filmed them and then figured out a bridge from scene to scene. In terms of streaming, Reacher is fantastic. And I watched one of my favorite old series recently. I watched The Shield with Michael Chiklis, which is wrong on so many levels, but right on so many more.
You went deep on that one. I actually went to the movie theater, which is like monumental. I know you guys, yeah. You were texting me like, are you okay? You feel all right? So went to see Killers of the Flower Moon, and it was outstanding. Mm. If you are into history, and if you want to really see just what's an excellent depiction of the depravity of man, you should go see this. Set in the 1920s, Scorsese is absolutely fantastic. One of his best works ever. De Niro was outstanding. DiCaprio's outstanding. I mean, it is the young lady who plays DiCaprio's Native American wife, Lily Gladstone, was amazing. And I tell you what, you go and read about this this true story, and he stuck to the script. Hollywood usually deviates, does other stuff. They didn't do that. This stuff really happened the way they said. And it's 3.5 hours. Don't let that scare you. You'll be glued from the time it starts. You will not doze off or lose focus. Streaming wise, Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. It is eight episodes. I watched them in less than 36 hours. That's how good it is. I couldn't stop watching. Was up late night, and you know, yeah, so there you go. All right, little movie review for you. Let's get back to the the lesson at hand and college football. And guys, this is one that when this quarterback hit the transfer portal, I think everyone was salivating, wondering, where's he going to land? He's so good. 3 years eligibility left. Malik Murphy leaving Texas to land at Duke. Didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. That's surprising. I mean, everyone's saying he's going to go to like a national power, you know, an Ohio State or Georgia or something like that. No, nope, Duke with a new coach. So that's interesting. Definitely an interesting choice by him. But I think this goes to show you that one of two things happened there. And my guess is he didn't have a spot when he went in the portal. And so now you're kind of picking. You saw, you know, the kid, the Ohio State starting quarterback ends up at Syracuse. I mean, so these are things that happen when you don't maybe have a plan going into the portal.
Yeah, I thought it was I was shocked. Malik Murphy, I think any program would be better off to have that guy, a fantastic quarterback, and he's only going to get better. I thought he was the prototype for Ohio State, but I think they wanted to go with their younger guys and not disrupt what they have coming down the line. And I just think Malik he's going to be fantastic for Duke. Will Duke be fantastic for him? I'm not sold on that yet.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. You know, he has said he wants to go somewhere where he can play. He'll definitely play there. There's no question. He's committed, and he's going to get some playing time. ESPN, ESPN.com, and the story they did about this said that they began ranking players in 2006, and since that time, he's the highest-rated quarterback and the sixth-highest-ranked overall player that Duke has ever gotten, even though he comes in the transfer portal. So that's pretty big stuff there. The other big story that kind of caught our attention was the running back Etienne leaving Florida to go to Georgia. Boy, you Billy Napier, right? Just trying to cling to his job. Not be a Klingon, trying to cling to his job down there in Gainesville. And yet, boy, that's what a kick in the pants that is. You lose your top running back to the team you're trying to knock off in what was your division.
Yeah, you better try and be a Romulan first, I think, not a Klingon. But no, I think Billy Napier, man, he's had a few flips on signing day as well, going against him, and now you lose your starting running back to your one arguably your biggest rival, and you know, it's not a good situation in Florida right now with their schedule they have next year and where that fan base is. I would guess a year from now, we're probably talking about someone else coaching Florida.
Yeah, the combination of the recruiting issues on signing day or leading up to signing day, coupled with the transfer portal wounds, and then you add that final brutal five-game stretch that Florida has that may be the toughest five-game stretch anybody's ever played. Unfortunately, Coach Napier was the right guy at the wrong time.
Yeah, it's too bad. ATN's gone, and Napier could be a year from now, like you said. All right, for some of you, we say goodbye. For some of you, we continue after this.
You're listening to the Sports Spectacular, powered by IlliniGuys.com on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Now, let's get back to the studio.
Hour number two, Larry Smith, Brad Sturdy, Mike Kegley, Illinois hosting FDU Friday night. Complete pre- and post-game coverage on IlliniGuys.com. That's where you can also find the very latest on the Terrence Shannon situation. The Illini women at Indiana on Sunday. That's an 11:30 a.m. Central Time tip-off. And you can see that on BTN post-game coverage of that game as well on IlliniGuys.com. Kedrick Prince serves as a director of recruiting for IlliniGuys.com, and he submitted a great podcast on his Keds Recruiting Roundup series with his conversation with Illini assistant coach Tim Anderson. Great insights on this team, on head coach Brad Underwood, and more. Here's part of that conversation with Kedrick Prince and Tim Anderson.
The maturity, the connectivity, guys are all about business. Like, guys know how to go about their business. They're older. I mean, you bring guys like Quincy and Marcus and Justin in, and those guys are, I mean, they're just, first of all, kid, they're like really, really good dudes, like really phenomenal people. And they fit right into what we were trying to do. Actually, it was exceptional. So, you know, the way they go about their business, the way they work, the way they carry themselves, it was a different feeling. And it just, you know, all of them have different personalities, and they're older, and they got this common factor about them, and just they understand like a workman mentality.
You know, a lot of coaches use the cliche, the culture. I hear it a lot, you know, the locker room. But this group on the court, and then you give us a chance to tell us what, you know, what we don't see. On the court, they look connected. They look dialed in, Tim. The bench looks different. Everybody's cheering for each other. And you mentioned the new guys coming in. What has that environment been like?
It's been phenomenal. It's been phenomenal to continue to see it develop. Our culture is one of it's everything. It means everything to us. And, you know, and ever since I joined the program, that's what it's always been about. That's everything that Brad, you know, exudes. He preaches it every day. And the camaraderie and amount of cohesiveness these guys got, kid, is unbelievable. And you would think like, oh, they just, you know, they jam on the court. No. They're really, really tight off the court. And I think that carries on to the court. Like, and it's kind of the gift and the curse, kid, because I guarantee you, if one person is getting in trouble, it's probably going to be the whole team together if something happens off the court. So, I mean, they're that tight, you know, with Quincy and Marcus, and those guys are, you know, keeping the guys together. And you got Luke and you got AJ, and these guys got huge personalities. And it's crazy, kid, because, like, off the court, like, they really, really rock with each other. And, like, it's not phony. Like, they'll like, Marcus will be showing me a clip or something, and then I'm looking in the back, and it's the whole entire team there. But he's showing me something that he's doing. But the whole team is there, and I'm like, wow. And like, it just, and when I look at it, it just makes me feel so good. You know what I'm saying? To see that, like, wow, these guys, they get it.
You know, and that's huge. And what about the staff? I mean, you guys, it's tough. You guys have jobs to go out, and you have, first of all, you have to fill holes, you have to fill needs. But we just talked about that locker room. What is it, or what do you guys do when you say, hey, we want this kid? Like, when you went after Marcus DeMass, is he a locker room fit? Is he going to fit our culture? Or is Quincy going to be that guy? Even though Coach Underwood recruited him for a number of years. I mean, what do you guys do as far as homework to make sure that this is going to be the team that we need and guys who are going to buy in with what we're selling and what we want as a staff?
I think, again, that's one of the most important things because, you know, to speak on the connectivity that we have as a staff, we all have different roles, you know, whether it's Zach, Biddle, Tyler, whoever, we all are getting as much intel as possible on these guys that we're bringing in. And again, Kev, we didn't make the sexy splashes. We didn't get the TJs and the bats per se on paper, but we did a better job this year of finding the pieces that fit and trying to play a certain style and have carryover for our culture. So I thought we did a phenomenal job with that, with Marcus and Justin and Quincy. And they wasn't the sexiest picks in the portal, but these were the guys that we identified and said, okay, hey, these are the guys that can help take our locker room and take our, you know, on-court performance to the next level. And Ked, you know, just to piggyback off the continuity piece, you know, one of the biggest things for us is sacrifice. You know, you can have guys on a team, you got two guys that's really, really good and everybody else got to play a role, but you can't really win big that way, Ked. You have to have multiple guys that can do multiple things, but they also got to sacrifice. So you got to have guys that are used to playing 30 minutes. You might only play 18 minutes, or you might only play 22 minutes, but you have to be a superstar in your role to play your part for us to win. And they're buying into it. You got guys like Justin that came in and started his whole career and is playing a huge role for us. Coming off the bench, Marcus, Quincy, Dane's playing a different role. You know, you have the loop. You know, I think our depth is really phenomenal. But again, the cohesiveness in our staff and identifying guys and doing deep dives on them to see who fits our culture is one of the main things. So now I really, you know, we really got a good feel for it. Now I've been with Brad long enough and I know exactly what he wants in his eye and the guys that he wants to be around and coach.
You mentioned the staff. So when I'm at the games, then I'm in a unique situation because I'm able to sit press row and hear a lot of things. But what about for the average fan, when they don't get to see what you guys all do differently? You mentioned about how close the staff is. What do you guys do? I mean, like, what is the role of all of you guys? I mean, is it scouting? Or is it certain guys with recruiting? Because you guys all have to get that same kid, and then, or you guys have to say, hey, this is a kid we want. But then on the scouting part of it, who's giving input to Coach Underwood? Who's in his ear during timeouts? How does that process work?
So the blessing that we have here, man, and it's truly a blessing, kid, because we got guys that are really, really good at multiple things. But what Brad does, Brad is really, really great at putting a lot of people from different backgrounds and ethnicities and situations and putting them together and then managing it and making it work. So you got guys like Tyler and Zach and Biddle, even our GAs from JC to Jack and Dyshun. Like, I'm telling you, kid, I have not been around a group of guys that are this sharp and are this stubborn too. Now, I'll give you that part. We fight a lot, but our cohesiveness is really, really good. And, you know, Brad lets us figure it out. And I think that's what makes us really, really good and really tight. Like, kid, I can't seem to stress this point enough, how good our young guys on the staff is going to be. Like Tyler and, man, these guys are really, really smart and they're special. Tyler and Zach and Biddle, these guys are phenomenal and they make our jobs really, really easy. So the way we scout now, kid, I'm watching games, they're watching games, and when we meet, they already got a whole scouting report ready. All we have to do now is kind of pick through the parts and see, okay, we want to add this, and we come together. I mean, kid, it's like the amount of work these guys put in is surreal. Like, and I tell these guys every day because I'm really, really hard on them. I fight with them a lot, especially Tyler. We fight every day. But he's going to be really, really special because he's smart and he's stubborn enough to be really, really good. And, I mean, you already know, you know, Jeff and Frey. Jeff been around this for 30 years. That's my big brother. And I mean, I learn from him every day. And the same thing with Frey. Frey is just younger than me, and I learn from him every day. So the dynamics on our staff is unbelievable. Like, we got people that are really, really good. And we work well together. And again, Ked, you know, when you have these strong personalities and a lot of, like, leaders, it ain't going to never be perfect. But I think what we do, Ked, we understand that, hey, we can look at the same cup. And me and Ked can look at it and say, Ked might say, that cup is bluish. And I might say, hey, Ked, I think it's purplish. But we can agree to disagree. And then I think we do that. And that's why I love working with these guys, man. And kid, I'm telling you, like, and I always tell you, like, how phenomenal our staff is. And the connectivity we have there it carries over to the court and the guys. You know, they don't see any chinks in the armor. And but, man, I'm telling you, kid, like, working with these guys every day, man, and seeing them grow and seeing Zach on the floor and watching his confidence get better and seeing Tyler on the floor and watching his confidence and going to Tyler and giving him a pebble. And he tells me, I don't know about that, T.A. And then 2 weeks later, T.A., I should have listened to you. And just these conversations we have back and forth. Or you know, he'll tell me the other way too, you know. And the crazy thing about it, people think he's so nice because he smiles all the time. No. He's a fiery dude. He's really, really fiery, and I love him. And I tell him every day, I think he's going to be really, really good. But man, I'm telling you, kid, the connectivity we have with our staff and those young guys, man, I'm telling you, I don't think people appreciate it enough because they're not going to be alone, kid. Like them guys, Tyler and Zach, and I'm telling you, somebody's going to try to come and get these guys a lot of money because a lot of the success that we have, yes, me, Frage, and Jeff, we're on the front line. We do a lot. But I'm telling you, these guys do a lot of the heavy lifting too, kid. I'll be wrong if I didn't tell you the truth, you know?
Well, what about, okay, since you said that, what about you guys? Because you're right, the fans see you, Chester, and Jeff, and I'll tell you a little bit more. So I'm going to put it out there, and you can give the fans a good Christmas Eve, a Christmas gift. I mean, are you guys bought in? I mean, so like, you know, is somebody going to come in and swoop one or three of you away?
Well, I'll tell you this, Ken, and we talk all the time, and the crazy thing about it, you know, we'll have a little running inside jokes about Brad, and Brad will say, yeah, T.A., you know, I always want you to be successful, but I'm not going to make it easy for you to leave here. But at the end of the day, kid, you know, I don't think any of us are going to leave for an assistant coach position, kid. It just doesn't make any sense, you know, and it has to be the right job, kid. I'll be telling you a story, kid, and if I say I didn't love my life right now, I didn't love where I'm at. Right. My family loves it here, kid. Like, I don't want to leave to be an assistant, kid. Like, you know, kid, I had blue bloods trying to get me and give me more money. I didn't even entertain that, kid. You knew that, kid. And I want to be here. Like, I'm here. Like, my feet are here. And we got 10 toes on the ground here, kid. And, of course, you think about, you know, being a head coach. That's always in the back of your mind because Brad wants us to do that. Like, Brad puts us in situations to be head coaches, kid. But, kid, I can't see myself leaving here to be anything but a head coach, kid. And, I mean, I know Jeff and Frage feel the same way, but I'm speaking for me. Like, I love it here. I love everything about it. I love the rocky parts. I love being able to get through things with it. I love when things are not going as well and how the fans embrace you. And I love when the fans tell you, hey, pick it up. And one of the craziest things, Ken, is my email had rebooted because I did an update on my phone. And So when my email rebooted, I had like 10 emails from fans about how important this Missouri game is. And I'm like, and I went through every one of them, kid, and they were some nasty ones too, but I respect that. I respect that, kid. And it's crazy, kid, because you know how me and you talk, kid, me and you can talk for hours, but when I first came here, kid, I didn't really understand the magnitude of the Missouri game because we won. We won by like a lot of points with Kofi and them. That next year, last year, when we lost, kid, I really felt the impact of the community, the fans. Like, kid, my Christmas was destroyed, kid. Like, oh, my God. Like, it was so bad. My wife had said, you got to do better for your kids. Like, my Christmas was horrible. So now it's like the amount of preparation and focus, it's like we're preparing for Purdue. Like, this game is the biggest game on our schedule. Like, the amount of focus that goes into this game, like, is unreal. And like, I get it now, and I didn't really understand it because we won by so many points. When we got our butt kicked last year, I really felt like, oh my God, like the world was coming to an end. Like, literally, kid, like, we sat in a room with Brad for 14 hours. Susan couldn't even get Brad to come in the room. We just sat right there. He just looked at us. He just made it miserable for us. Like, and Brad is not a guy that does meetings. Like, Brad doesn't do meetings. If you meeting, something is wrong. Like, Brad is going to – you're probably going to meet once or twice the whole year with Brad. If Brad want to do meet and scat, he'll pull up to my house. He'll come to my office. Like, Brad is not a guy that's going to monopolize your time. You know what I'm saying, kid?
Right.
So
yep.
I'm telling you, like, and Brad hate losing more than he love winning. I don't know if you let that sink in, kid. Like, he hates to lose.
Oh, I get
and, oh, when we lost to Missouri, kid, like, we just sat right there, and I just had to listen to him. Like, everything is wrong. Like, everything with the program is wrong. I'm like, come on now, big fella. Like, it's not everything is wrong. And Brad is so smart, kid. Like, he keeps score. You'll do something that you think he didn't peep, but he'll let you know at the worst time. I saw that, TA. I remember that. And that was BS. And why we do this? I'm like, coach, that was 2 months ago.
But he's very analytical. But, he's very analytical and smart. Extremely smart.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, kid. And, like, so, you know, Brad goes on his walks in the summer or whatever. So I went on one of the walks with him for one time. I'm like, this can't be. First of all, he walks extremely fast. Like, it's like you're going to be hurt. So I'm like, I'm not going to be doing this too much longer. But it gave me an opportunity to have some conversations with him, you know, and Brad told me something that stuck with me that I'll never forget. He was like, T.A., it was like, some of these guys are really, really good X and O guys. Some of them are great leaders. Some are both. They was blessed to be both. You kind of got to pick a side. And Brad said, hey, T.A., I'm a great leader. I'm a leader. That's why you guys are here to help with the X and O's and all of that. But I'm a lead. And Ken, the way he approaches things, Ken, and the way his preparation and his management, it all came together when he gave me that little speech. You know what I'm saying, Ken? So,
oh, exactly.
I mean, that dude, he's so different, Ken. He's on a whole nother mental level than everybody else. But
people who don't know him, Tim, you're exactly right. People who don't know Brad, I've had a chance to be around him a lot, and I'm really lucky and consider myself to be blessed to be around him. And you're right, he's a good guy. This, you mentioned the little things that he's done before. I'll never forget the day, and I've told the story a million times, I'm driving in the car, and I get a text message from Brad Underwood wishing me Happy Father's Day. I thought it was a joke. I really did. And he appreciates my relationship with my daughter, how close we are. Brad's a good guy. People see him on the court, and you know, you're right. It's not for everybody. But when you see guys like what you're saying to the listeners right now, and Terrence Shannon, how, you know, and Colin Hawkins, how guys have been bought into Brad, they know. And it's not for everybody. But if you knew him the way you do and the way I do, he's a genuine guy. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Tell me this. What can the fans, because that Missouri game, I have to be PG here. The Missouri game, you guys put in work. I'll put it that way. So now what's the ceiling like? How good can you be? You guys talk about the staff. Well, how good is this team really, Tim?
So I think you know me a little bit. I try not to, like, to put the cart before the horse or whatever, kid, but I watch a lot of other teams now, kid. I think we got a chance to be really, really good, kid, because we could play so many different ways. Of course, you're going to have TJ. TJ has to be TJ every night. But then you got a guy like Coleman that's capable of giving you 25. Quincy can give you 25. Marcus can give you 25. Dane can give you 25. We can beat you so many ways, kid. So, like, when you watch us play, kid, and this is all Brad, like, a lot of teams, we want to run pretty offense and get the ball going side to side and move pieces and stuff like that. A lot of teams are going to try to pressure us, kid, which I think is death for them because we got bigger guards, and we just going to get them guards going downhill. If you want to pressure Ty and pressure Marcus and pressure TJ, that's fine. You might get a turnover or two, but I guarantee you that score is going to go up more than it's going to go be even. And we figured out a certain way to play. You want to pressure us, we'll go ISO heavy ball screens, and we'll just ISO you guys, and we'll take advantage of mismatches. Or we also, you got games like Wisconsin and Michigan State where they're going to be pack line. You got to move pieces. So I think we got a really, really dynamic team, kid. And you're being able to see that now. Like, a guy like Quincy can step up. You know what I'm saying? So we can beat you so many different ways. We can shoot the ball. We can play fast. We can play slow. We can defend.
Once again, that was Kendrick Prince of the Illini Guys with Illini assistant men's basketball coach Tim Anderson. You can hear that full interview on the podcast, Ked's Recruiting Roundup, and you can get that on the IlliniGuys.com front page or wherever you download your podcast. More on the way, including our chat recently with Icon director Kathleen Knight. That's coming up here on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Are you tired of your friends and family members being the center of attention? Always the life of the party? Always the one who knows something no one else does? Then change the game with IlliniGuys.com. Insider info on your favorite teams, analysis on the latest games, weekly chats with coaches. You take control of the room with IlliniGuys.com. Regular updates from the experts put you courtside and in the locker room. But wait, there's more. Act now and get this free Illini Guys sweatshirt. Comfortable, stylish. Tell the world, I'm an Illini guy and you're not. Don't delay. This is a limited time offer. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the Black Friday button, and you are on your way to cool guy status. Feature articles, game analysis, members-only message boards with insider info, plus the cool sweatshirt, all yours. May they never ignore you again, thanks to IlliniGuys.com. Sign up today.
Attention business owners. Have you filed for your employee retention credit and been approved? Are you now waiting for your refund check from the IRS? Instead of waiting months to a year plus, how would you like to get your ERC money in about 10 days? Now you can. With ERCMoneyUpfront.com, we help business owners that have filed their employee retention credit and been approved to get their money faster. If you're getting between $75,000 and $5 million, we could get you up to a 70% advance on that money in about 10 days. To learn more about how you can get your ERC money faster, call this number right now. Speak with one of our funding specialists and have a text sent to your cell phone with details.
800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419.
This is not a loan product except in California. An offer is not available in the state of Massachusetts.
Right back here on the show, we were talking here in the break about Kansas City Chiefs. Not sure what's wrong with them. This is not the Chiefs of old. Maybe they really miss Eric Bieniemy calling the shots and the offensive coordinator. I'm not sure what it is. Is it Taylor Swift's fault? I don't know. Taylor Swift seen at this weekend's game. Number one, Tony Romo keeps calling her Travis Kelce's wife. Tony, wake up. You didn't pay $1 million a game to be correct on these kinds of things. And number two, hanging out with Caitlin Clark. This is like a State Farm commercial thing they were shooting.
Could be. Who knows? Caitlin Clark's big time, though. That just tells you where she's at. But yeah, I tell you what. You know what? Taylor Swift, she could help the Chiefs, though. If she could catch a ball, she could help the Chiefs because that's their problem. They don't have a wide receiver. I think it's very interesting to see all this stuff. With all the off-the-field stuff, it's almost like the distractions are bothering the Chiefs. Now, you wonder if they'll focus when they get in the playoffs and kind of put it together. But everybody's a Swiftie now, so yeah, we go from there. Tony Romo, by the way, to defend Tony Romo, he can exactly pick out what's happening on the field when it's 11 on 11. Oh, they're going to run this play. But he's not meant to understand personal relationships. So
three words for you. Eastern Illinois University, I guess.
Go, baby.
Come on, man. We didn't even go there. We haven't even talked about.
That's right.
But no, we've got I think this the Pat Mahomes got the big quarterback contract. And now you're going to see a round of those. Dak Prescott's going to do that, et cetera. And you watch these teams in order to, you have to have a good quarterback and you have to overpay them. And then you strip good players from your team to pay the quarterback. And I think you're going to see like down in Dallas, Dak's going to want $60 million a year. Bye-bye part of that defense. And you're going to see that across the NFL when these guys get their bigger contracts. If I was a quarterback, I'd say, okay, you know what? Maybe I take $10 million less and I cash in on all the deals when we win a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Maybe now we understand the secret of Tom Brady, right? Because
exactly.
Guess who's playing very well right now? The Miami Dolphins. Guess who they have at wide receiver?
Yeah,
the guy who Mahomes used to throw passes to, right? Yep. I mean, yeah, to your point. You're exactly right.
The guy, I tell you what, the guy that they have, Ken City, looks like he has lobster claws trying to catch the ball. Dude, he drops everything.
He does. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird to see. But yeah, Caitlin Clark out there, and you know what? Good for her. She's impressive. So Sporting News Athlete of the Year, good for her. And she's setting all kinds of records. Now she's hanging with T. Swift. Life is pretty good for her. Meanwhile, life good for Kansas because they beat the rap. The NCAA was trying to lay on them, right? It took it was like 10 years in the making, I think it felt like. And we now hear that they spent $10 million in attorney fees to get it done. It was money well spent because they're eligible this year to win a title.
Yeah, definitely. That's a lot of money. They maybe need to start getting Taylor Swift to come to their games so they can make some more money. I think it just goes to show you how crazy all of this is. And we're spending $10 million to defend this. And you know, I get it, but man, that's a lot of money to spend on basically nothing.
Well, it's basically preventing money from not being made by Kansas. I think, right or wrong, let's take that out of it. From a purely profit standpoint, this will be good for Kansas. And don't think that the people at Michigan aren't watching this and taking notes, because that Michigan football program is worth way more than Kansas basketball.
But how much do you think they would lose? Like, so let's say they were found guilty and they had to sit out an NCAA tournament. How much money do you think they actually lose?
I don't know, but I got to think that,
because they're still Kansas. They're still going to get all their TV money. They're still going to play all their games. They're still going to, I mean, they sit out one NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but that's a lot of dollars that they could be in for, in terms of like even like the ratings across the board. So I think there's a risk to that program. They don't want any type of type of the shine taken off the program at all, especially when, if everything fragments, will the Big 12 be in a good place?
Yeah, I get that. But I guess here's my pushback on that. And I guess is what Brad's getting at, is that Louisville suffered the worst penalty ever by actually having their title stripped, right? Of all the scandals over the years, that never happened before. Nobody talks about it. And if you talk about who won the 2013 title, it's Louisville. Nobody says Louisville. Oh yeah, wait a minute. Not really, because they still get the notoriety for it. It's so many years down the line, it doesn't even matter anymore. And that's where I think the NCAA really kind of drops the ball, is that it's so far down the line that what's the real impact?
Where's Louisville been since then? And then, of course, that's really not their fault that they got rid of Patino, I guess. But the bottom line is, if they would have got hit hard enough, would Kansas have felt like they had to get rid of Bill Self? That may be what they were worried about.
Yeah, but you can't hire as bad as Louisville did.
I'm not arguing that. Yeah. I'm not. Well, you can. It's called Illinois football when Tim Beckman got hired. But yes, you're right.
I still don't think it's worse than what Louisville hired with Kenny Payne.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Kenny Payne has definitely undershot his expectations.
It's bad. When everyone jokes at the Calipari comment to him after the game, after the Wildcats whacked him last week, was like, hang in there. It's going to be okay.
Do you think Kenny Payne will ever be the ace recruiter again? Because he may have bombed this so hard.
He'll still recruit. I mean, there's been a lot of guys who've gone through that, and then.
But that bad? Because this has been pretty bad.
You're right. This is the worst.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad. One other thing before we hit break right now. Florida State, of course, missing out on the college football playoff. First ever undefeated champion of a Power 5 conference to do that, largely because their Heisman Trophy candidate of a quarterback at the time, Jordan Travis, injured late in the season. His replacement now also will not play in the bowl game because he's leaving the team as well.
Man, it's weird. These bowl games, I think this is where the 12-team playoff is going to help, because you'll have 12 teams where those guys are at least going to play. You know, a lot of the smaller teams, the bowl game's cool. It's fun. You know, they want to be a part of it. So I think with the big programs, you're going to see fewer and fewer opt-outs early. I think this 12-team playoff will help that happen. Like, if they were in the playoff, Florida State, I guarantee that kid's playing, right? And if he had portals, it's after the bowl game. So Yeah, I think, but you're going to see this more and more, and especially now that the NCAA's opened up that double transfer thing with they can transfer twice, and it's going to be free mark. Every year you're going to re-recruit your old team. People are going to portal. They can portal, skip a game, come back. I mean, it's really – it's gone off the rails. We have jumped the shark in college athletics.
Yeah, it has become just unbelievable. But I do think NIL contracts and then eventually – the employment, at least for the men's basketball, women's volleyball, and football. I think those contracts and the NIL deals will probably have something. If you're in the playoffs, there's probably a payment that'll give you incentive to not abandon the team.
Yeah, that's true. I do think, I'll add this real quick. The one thing about those is it's going to be interesting. Coaches right now, they have their contracts. Many times they have like a penalty for getting out of their contract early. Like the school may have to pay $5 million to the other school. Can you imagine if athletes now have to pay like $1 million to get out of their NIL contract?
Yeah.
I mean,
as long as the coaches have to, I'm all for it.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm saying is think about this. So your transfer, well, this kid transfers from, you know, Syracuse to Miami. Miami has to pay Syracuse $1 million to take that kid to pay off his NIL debt. Pretty wild if you think about it.
The conversation continues after this.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-816-4492. 800-816-4492. That's 800-816-4492.
Hey, this is Mike Small, the golf coach of your Fighting Illini men's golf team, and you're listening to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular.
Right back here on the show. Don't forget to give us a follow, Illini_guys on Twitter, or X, as it's called, Illini_guys, and make sure you stay up to date, even if you're a member, or if you're not, you can always do that. Hey, we want to get some knowledge right now. NIL, always a big conversation, and we're excited to have on, for the first time, Kathleen Knight. She's the president and CEO of ICON, the new collective, right? And I'll let you explain exactly, because we get this legal stuff and we've been talking NIL, right, for a couple of years now. And it's amazing that, you know, you have the differences. Every state has its different rules. And so the playing field really is not even. And it is, that's why we have you on to help you explain. So first, welcome to the Sports Spectacular. Let's just start with, tell us exactly what ICON is and kind of how this came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question, Larry. First, I want to state I am not a legal expert. I am not a lawyer. I am simply a fundraiser by trade, a former student athlete, tried to take all those prior experiences and dump that into NIL. It's been a wild ride. It's been a very fun ride. As you say, it's whether it's the NCAA or state legislature, there's not been a lot of consistency. And so naturally the space has, I think, just created a lot of questions, uncertainty, and we know that educating people about NIL, what it is, what it isn't, and how we do NIL at Illinois, we have those conversations every single day. We know we will have to continue to have them over and over to be sure everyone has a good grasp, ultimately, so that we can ask people to get involved and help our efforts, right? But we understand that educational piece is in the forefront. A little bit of a history lesson. Again, NIL here at Illinois has been around since July 1st of 2021, right? So it still feels new. There's been new NCAA guidance that's come to play. The state legislation has evolved since July of 2021. And so our mission has really been to be as agile as possible to respond to all these evolutions, right? I was a longtime DIA employee, again, former student athlete, product of the product, which is part of why I have such a passion for supporting our student athletes through NIL. But I had worked at DIA and fundraising largely here in our Chicago office where I'm still based. And so we had relationships with Chicagoland donors and donors and supporters across the country asking for support for scholarships and for capital projects and other traditional ways of getting involved. And so when NIL came to be and an icon was formed actually back in November of 2022, that was in response to updated NCAA guidance, which really forced a lot of the work that administrations had been doing related to NIL that they could be doing internally. It forced that operation outside of the university. And so, no, I did not have early goals of jumping outside of DIA and starting this passion project on the side. But again, the landscape and in the constantly evolving environment had necessitated that. So back November 2022, ICON Collective was formed. ICON actually stands for Illini for Charitable Opportunities and Networking. ICON is a nonprofit pending 501c3 status with the IRS, which is a whole other topic when you talk about different collectives operating with different rules. So we'll unpack that a little bit later, I'm sure. But ICON Collective is the, again, was that original entity and is dedicated to deploying our student athletes into the community through these NIL agreements and contracts to perform charitable work in the local community. The response has been tremendous. The impact in the community has been great. But early on when we had launched ICON, our focus was certainly more on a lot of what we'll call major gift fundraising efforts. We had some early milestones we needed to achieve to really get out ahead of some of our peers, both in the Big Ten and across the country. But it became really evident early on that we needed to create a vehicle that everybody can get involved in, right? Much more grassroots and allow everyone to get a little bit of skin in the game, because we know that there's a lot of interest around NIL. So our newest initiative is ICON for Illini, which is similarly branded. We want people to understand it's all sort of under the same umbrella. It's just another tool in our NIL toolbox. So ICON for Illini, actually, we'll reach our 1 month anniversary tomorrow. So it's a big day. We're off and running. But ICON for Illini is this vehicle for folks, again, to jump in, get involved at any level. We have five giving levels, starts at $25 a month, increases to $1,000 a month. There's tangible benefits that are in experiences that are associated with each level of giving. We want people to not only be able to get some skin in the NIL game, but help grow their relationship with the university in a really active way and get involved in supporting our student athletes. So that's really the evolution. Again, we're trying to, you know, build an NIL machine, if you will, but allow ourselves to be really agile and respond to those outside circumstances.
So regardless of how, you know, and I know you want to do things a certain way. I mean, there's just a way you want to handle things. But from the outside, we know there are other places that's not going, you know, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to compete when you can't maybe do the same things that other places can do or are willing to do?
Yeah, no, it's a super fair question. And you're right. There was a decision that had to be made, right, about the type of NIL machine we were going to build. Not only is it going to be super effective, but it's going to function the right way. Early on, we were saying that we know not everyone at Illinois, whether you're a donor, fan, supporter, local community member, alumnus, not everyone is going to want to support NIL and get behind it financially. But we know that we need everybody to feel good about the way that we are handling NIL at Illinois, because this thing is not going away and we need to have everybody's support. So whether you're actually involved in supporting financially, or you're sitting at dinner with buddies or going out and meeting colleagues or former fraternity members or whomever else, we need people to say, wow, at Illinois, they've really gotten it right. Not just from their ability to fundraise and deploy meaningful NIL opportunities. We have to flex that muscle because we have some really great successes and some stories we're so proud of. But we also know that this thing is going to continue to stay alive and thrive for however long NIL is going to be here. The reason that's going to happen is because we have the support of the broader base. And that's really something we've been steadfast in and have to give a big kudos and thank you to Josh Whitman and our friends at DIA. That philosophy was married very, very early on. And we knew that we're going to go into this NIL war together, aligned in that strategy. That's something that we see in our communications with donors. but with student athletes, with agents, with parents, with people that say, gosh, we may have some other opportunities or someone else might have been in our ear, but we feel so good about the way that you're doing NIL. It gives us a lot of confidence.
Talking with Kathleen Knight here on the show. She's the president and CEO of Icon. You know, I know there have been a couple of iterations of collectives here in the short term of NIL, one being the Illini Guardians. And I understand now is no longer active. Can you kind of explain? So we get a lot of questions on IlliniGuys.com of the Guardians. Are they not around? How is Icon different? Can you kind of explain kind of what happened and how Icon is different?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. It's one of those that we do we feel that question pretty often as well, too. So really happy to unpack that a little bit. First, I would just like to say our friends at the Illini Guardians deserve nothing but the biggest applause and a ton of credit. They jumped out so early in this NIL space. Remember, it was about October of 2021. So we're coming up on two years ago, right? That this group of guys sat in a room and they raised their hand and they answered the bell and they said, we may not understand this. We don't know where this is going. And we've got our own day jobs and obligations and areas of interest, but we have such a passion for Illinois. We want to get involved. I firmly believe that we collectively as an institution, as an athletic program, aren't where we are in the NIL space, which is a really, really good place. I want everyone to know that we're not in that place without the Illini Guardians. So really want to commend them for all their work. Obviously this space has evolved. We've all had to ride that wave. The trend toward a more professionalized type of operation, I say professionalized, like full-time staff, eyes and ears on it every single day, is something that we're seeing that's not unique to Illinois. It might have been unique when Icon was formed 11 months ago, but that's really where this is going. You're even starting to see this week some, you know, senior advisors being hired that run Fortune 500 companies who are being hired on by collectives to help guide their operations. Like, that's where this is going, because NIL is not going away. We knew it was going to be really important to help sort of bolster their efforts. And they were the first to that grassroots space, right? And again, just commend all the work that they were doing there. We worked in coordination with the Illini Guardians to ensure that this process could be as smooth as possible as they began to wind down their operations and as the plan for the launch of Icon for Illini came to be. I think one of the misconceptions is that Icon took over Illini Guardians and that we're just managing the program that they had built. That's not the case. The Illini Guardians did actually wind down their operations. Icon for Illini is a completely new legal entity and platform and things of that nature. I make that distinction largely because I know that there is still some confusion about those who may have been supporting Illini Guardians and actively involved. We want you to know that we did not roll in, nor could we legally just roll over accounts into Icon for Illini. And even if we could, I don't think that would be something we felt right about. We want people to know that this is different and be able to make an educated decision about whether they wanted to re-enroll with us. So that was, I think, just an important thing, going back to the integrity piece and how we want to be known to do our business. But we check a very similar box, right? And so we want everyone to know whether you were actively supporting Illini Guardians, interested in Guardians, or perhaps not even actively involved yet, is that we welcome everybody here at Icon for Illini. I want you to know that is the place for everybody to get involved, again, at any level. And so we do want to be sure that if people have questions, that they're getting to the right place. And we can be sure, I think, to have our email and that information available. But the best place to reach us is either going to the website, iconforillini.com, and you can fill out a form there. Our information is there as well. Or drop us an email at admin@ill-icon.com. That goes directly into my inbox, into Jackie's inbox as well, just to be sure as we're moving and shaking and running at a million miles an hour that one of us sees that information. And so, again, happy to answer questions and get everybody involved.
And you do this well, because that was exactly my final question. You answered it already. So, Kathleen,
something told me that was coming, Larry.
Clearly, you know how we operate here. Kathleen, well, congratulations. Good luck with everything. We hope we talk to you soon as you guys evolve in this space. You know, and I think also not only obviously to drum up support, but as well to make sure that we tell our listeners what's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, we really want this to be a space of of explanation. And with all the changes, it's great to have you on to kind of get some knowledge on this.
Absolutely. Happy to, again, continue that education process and support our Fighting Illini student athletes. Appreciate all that you guys do.
Okay. Kathleen Knight, she's again the president and CEO of ICON, and great to have you on. We'll talk with you soon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Go Illini.
All right. Kathleen Knight here on the Sports Spectacular. Stay with us. We get a quick timeout. Much more here on the Illini Guys Radio Network.
What's the best way to get rid of a timeshare that you don't want? Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline. We're a group of attorneys that help customers legally exit their timeshares. It's an easy process. We guarantee results or you pay nothing. Exit your timeshare today. Call now.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
When life isn't easy, you need healthcare that is. You need OSF On-Call Urgent Care. With OSF On-Call Urgent Care, we make it easy to get affordable, quick, convenient care for minor illnesses and injuries when and where you need it. Reserve an appointment online or walk in for care 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day, even on holidays. Virtual visits are also available 24/7, 365. Get started today or find a clinic near you at osfoncall.org/urgentcare.
Right back here on the show. I'm going to wrap things up. But before we do, it is that weekend, first weekend, last weekend of the old year, January 1 coming up here on Monday. And so let's talk about it. Let's get your thoughts, fellas, for these two games. Let's start with out on the Rose Bowl, Michigan and Alabama. What are your thoughts?
I think in this case, this is the biggest game. I mean, this has the nation. These are two of the most storied programs, two of the winningest programs in college football history. And I think when you look at this matchup, Michigan has not probably, and they played Ohio State, but they're different. I don't know if they've played a team like this in Alabama. And Michigan is you look at their 1.5-point favorite, which is interesting when you consider Michigan has taken care of everyone and Alabama's had some stinkers even recently against at Auburn. So I really think that the Nick Saban factor comes in here. And I think Saban has been successful and he knows how to get ready for these games. So I'm going to take Alabama to win this one.
Yeah, I think it comes down to Milroe. If he has a good game, I just don't see Michigan being able to keep up with him. And the other thing that's going to happen is if Michigan loses this game, you are going to hear, well, you know, they didn't know what the plays were, so their defense isn't so good, you know, et cetera. And the offense couldn't find the open area, you know. And so Michigan's in a very unenviable position because if they lose, the finger pointing is going to go absolutely nuts. And I still feel like Alabama is the team to beat, even though I'm not certain that Alabama is really the better team than Georgia.
You know, isn't it this a case, though, of just the SEC dominance? And we're going back almost 20 years to when Ohio State was the one seed against Florida, the two seed, and the Gators just made them look like they were standing in quicksand. I mean, Troy Smith was the Heisman Trophy winner and was woefully ineffective against the Gators defense that night out in Arizona. And since then, it has been time and time again the SEC coming up big at season's end with a title on the line against the Big Ten. And it just feels like right now, until the Big Ten can do that consistently and knock off the SEC team, people are going to pick against them.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think, I will say from Big Ten side, Michigan wins this game. Suddenly it's like, wow, the Big Ten's legit. You know what I mean? It really, they might be better than the SEC. You could say that because, you know, you look at Michigan and Ohio State, they obviously Michigan and Ohio State can compete with anybody. They can be any team in the country on given days. Those two teams can, you know, so now it's just, you know, but I think depth wise and having more teams and having teams like Alabama and Georgia who can win every year, I think makes the SEC better.
You know, Michigan's got the potential, and potential is a French word that means you haven't done doo-doo yet. So I think ultimately, if Michigan wants the, you know, instead of this Michigan against the world stuff, you got to go out and win. And so it's Michigan against Alabama, and you want the accolades, beat Saban. Not an easy thing to do.
Yeah. That's the 1-4 game. 2-3 then is in New Orleans. Washington, the Pac-12 undefeated champion, taking on Texas. Have the Huskies gotten their due with the season they had, the teams they beat, and knocking off a team like Oregon twice? It feels like they're still maybe a bit overlooked.
Yeah, I think some of it's the way they've won down the stretch. I thought earlier in the year they're putting up some great points, but yeah, big points. But now it's been 22-20, 24-21, 35. I mean, every game, their last four games, they won by a touchdown or less. And so that kind of gives you an idea that they're playing competitive games instead of really stomping on people. And as whereas Texas, you know, they're winning by 28 and 50 and 10. And, you know, they've had a couple scares in the middle, but they seem to be peaking right now. Now, after a month layoff, who knows what happens, but I still think Texas is the best team here.
Yeah, and I think Texas, it's interesting. They've had some big wins, but, you know, they were not generally against great teams. I actually think that beating Oregon a couple times primes Washington for this game, and I think Washington is going to beat the Longhorns.
There you have it.
Spread. It could happen.
Yeah. Could happen. And then the champions play a week later. Should the winners play a week later for the championship? And there you go. There you have it. All right.
Who do you have, Larry?
I'm going to go Alabama and Washington in these two games. I just think it's.
So now we know Alabama and Texas will be in the finals.
All right, you go.
Maybe even Michigan, since both of us are, since we're both on this, it's probably going to be Michigan versus Texas.
Exactly.
So there you are, Wolverine and Longhorns fans. Send all of your money and thanks to Mike at Big Sports Radio.
.com.
Or Mike at Illini, guys.
That's right. There you go. There you go. Yeah, I just love the fact that it's, you know, it's been a competitive season. You know, I hate that Florida State got squeezed out. But like I said before, when you've got five power conferences and only four slots, it's amazing that this didn't happen before now. And so, yep, Florida State gets pinched. But next year it's 12 teams and it's a different argument. So, all right, that does it for us. We appreciate everybody who came by. We appreciate you for stopping in. Have a safe holiday weekend. And many blessings in 2024. Enjoy the games. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you next week. ILL.
INI.
This has been a presentation of LMBC Sports, LLC, and JM Talent Productions. We'll be back next week on the Illini Guys Radio Network on these same stations across Illinois.